Welcome to Today's Local Environment, the Compliance Podcast, brought to you by LGEEN, the Local Government Environmental Assistance Network. LGEEN is a first-stop shop providing local governments with user-friendly information on compliance with federal environmental regulations, funding strategies, and tools for advancing healthy and sustainable communities for all. Brought to you by the Environmental Law Institute under a cooperative agreement with the United States Environmental Protection Agency. ELI makes law work for people, places, and the planet.
Cynthia, we often open these podcasts with some impressive figure about a trending issue in pollution control or the latest statistics on local government noncompliance with environmental regulations.
Of course. And what more riveting way to start a podcast than with cold, hard data? It really grabs your attention, doesn't it? It tells you exactly where things stand so you know what to do.
Today, we're going to talk about when, even with all that information, you still don't know what to do. When you have a puzzling environmental problem and don't know where to even start. So on that enigmatic note, let's bring in a mystery guest, or actually two mystery guests, in fact, Jamie and Paula. I want you and our listeners to listen very closely to their descriptions of what they do, and at the end, tell me what they have in common. Are you ready, ladies?
Sure thing.
Yep.
Okay, Jamie, we'll start with you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jamie, and I'm a bit of an ambassador, or maybe more of an envoy, for communities who need help navigating the Clean Water Act. I can connect communities to funding resources, technical assistance, options for permitting and enforcement flexibilities, and many more informational resources.
Thank you, Jamie. I hope you're paying attention, Cynthia. Next, Paula.
So I'm a coach, a mentor, and a cheerleader all in one. My team and I work tirelessly to serve as an advocate and information liaison, providing informal guidance to small businesses and the general public with their asbestos questions. When you contact me, I help connect you to your state or local representative and equip you with the information necessary to stay safe and keep your small businesses on the right track with their environmental requirements.
Thank you, ladies. All right. Cynthia, what do both of these guests have in common?
Both help out someone, like local governments in Jamie's case, and Paula is there for businesses and community.
And what type of assistance specifically?
Both clearly have an environmental angle, but it goes beyond that. It sounds like they help communities and businesses resolve pretty sticky environmental challenges, like ensuring clean water or taking on asbestos.
Exactly. Both help troubleshoot environmental challenges on a state or local level, either within a municipality or more specifically even with small businesses or tribal businesses. Both provide the help that the little guys may need when working or trying to comply with EPA's sometimes complex requirements and regulations.
Sometimes complex, very complex. And if they can help solve those problems, that makes our mystery guests sound less like ambassadors or coaches and more like fairy godmothers. You know, the one that magically appears, waves her wand, and solves everything.
Not exactly. In the real world, I'm sorry to say, local governments and small businesses don't always have a fairy godmother they can summon with three clicks of their ruby slippers or by wishing on a star. But they can summon their EPA ombudsman, which is just as good or even better if you're a city, town, small business, or tribe with an environmental problem.
Ombudsman. I know that ombudsmen typically serve as an advocate within an organization or agency, right? But what does an EPA ombudsman do anyway?
Well, let's talk with one, or two in this case. Jamie and Paula, could you please give our listeners a full introduction?
Sure. Hi, my name is Paula Hoag, and I'm the Environmental Protection Agency's Asbestos and Small Business Ombudsman, which is managed within the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization.
And I'm Jamie Picciali, Municipal Ombudsman with the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Relations.
And you're both ombudsmen, ombudswomen, ombudspeople.
My position was created by legislation, so I am an ombudsman by law, but you can call me an ombud or ombudsperson if you prefer. There are actually several ombudsman programs within EPA, including ombudspeople within our Office of Pesticide Programs, like Nicole Burks and Diane Isbell, colleagues of ours, who right now are busy providing assistance to the public on things like antimicrobial review and approval, which is actually incredibly important now more than ever as new disinfectant products come on the market to combat COVID-19.
Good for them. And thank you both for joining us here today. I know the two of you have extremely busy jobs helping local governments, tribes, and businesses meet their environmental compliance obligations and safeguard the public health.
Absolutely, our pleasure. We're always happy to share what we do and spread the word. We truly want to provide support to our constituents by providing a soft landing place within the agency when they have questions or concerns within our field of expertise.
On that note, what exactly is it that an ombudsman or ombud does? I've heard many different definitions of an ombudsman. There's one at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and my home county of San Diego as a long-term care ombudsman that investigates concerns about assisted living facilities.
In fact, I just pulled up the definition online. An ombudsman is an official, usually appointed by the government, who investigates complaints, usually lodged by private citizens, against businesses, financial institutions, government departments, or other public entities, and attempts to resolve the conflicts or concerns raised, either by mediation or by making recommendations. But the two of you play a more specialized role, is that right?
That's right for some government ombudsmen. And private organizations also have ombudsmen too. The municipal ombudsman role is actually focused on municipalities and any concerns they might have in complying with the Clean Water Act.
And you focus just on water?
So my role was specifically created for the Clean Water Act. But I know water doesn't know the difference. So I'm hoping to take a more one water perspective to supporting communities as I'm able. So there will be a lot of interaction with, you know, the other water statutes like the Safe Drinking Water Act and likely other media. For example, green infrastructure for reducing stormwater pollution can also help you be more resilient to flooding or help reduce urban heat island impacts. And funding for green infrastructure might even come from, say, our brownfields program. So success in my program could mean that maybe we are able to bring on additional topical ombudsmen to represent other program areas.
Yeah, and my role as the Asbestos and Small Business Ombudsman, or as I like to call it, the ASBO, is actually two ombudsman roles combined into one program. So the Small Business Ombudsman role is intended to provide informal guidance and support to small businesses when understanding and complying with environmental regulations. In this role, I also serve to advocate for small business engagement within the rule development process at EPA, as well as monitor and support compliance assistance provided to small businesses throughout the country. The Asbestos Ombudsman role is intended to field questions or concerns from the general public on asbestos issues in schools and public buildings. So both ombudsman roles have statutory authority from the Congress.
So the two of you, first you advocate and serve as liaisons for local governments or in Paula's case, small businesses. And second, it sounds like you provide technical or compliance assistance to help local governments, small businesses, and the general public with EPA requirements. So that would be the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act and the Asbestos Hazardous and Emergency Response Act.
Exactly. My office is also a terrific resource when it comes to locating information on federal assistance opportunities like grants and loans and technical assistance with permitting and enforcement flexibilities and information on holistic Clean Water Act integrated planning.
Agreed. Yeah, ASBO connects and serves its customers through a toll-free hotline where the public and small business community can ask questions and get support with asbestos questions on regulatory compliance assistance. We also fund a national cooperative agreement which hosts an environmental compliance assistance website for small businesses and supports collaborative resources among the states.
What if one of our listeners is a local government, a tribe, or a small business with a water or asbestos problem, but doesn't know if their issue is something that you specifically can help them with?
So our motto is, if in doubt, reach out.
And ombuds are really terrific resources. Just think about how it usually is when a local government hears from the EPA or state environmental agency about a compliance issue. It's not a particularly enjoyable experience by the time you get to the enforcement stage. Instead, you have this incredible ombudsman role, which works with local governments collaboratively to solve problems.
It does sound extremely helpful, and it's a great idea. Who came up with it, and how long have these ombuds roles been around?
Well, there are currently more than 170 ombudsmen in the federal government, and every ombudsman program is different.
That's right. Some ombudsmen are internal facing and support employees with questions or complaints, while others, such as Jamie and I, are positioned to serve external customers. Both types are intended to provide an informal conflict resolution or guidance service support.
And it's important to understand that all ombudsmen need to follow three guiding ombudsman principles. That's independence, impartiality, and confidentiality. Paula and I are both voting members of the Coalition of Federal Ombudsmen, or COFO for short, which is a group dedicated to upholding sort of professional standards of federal ombuds.
Right, and also you asked about our roles. For my office, the Asbestos Ombudsman is mandated under the Asbestos Hazardous Emergency Response Act, AHERA. And wearing that hat, I field questions and provide assistance to those seeking advice on asbestos in our nation's schools and public buildings. Wearing my other hat, much of EPA's approach to small business assistance and the Small Business Ombudsman role is derived from the Small Business Regulatory Enforcement and Fairness Act. It's kind of a mouthful. We call it SBREFA. Also in terms of supporting small business and regulatory issues. The Small Business Ombudsman role and services are also specified within the 1990 Clean Air Act Amendment, Section 507, which requires EPA Small Business Ombudsman, myself, to monitor and report on the effectiveness of the state small business stationary source, technical and environmental compliance assistance programs. We also call them the SBEEBs, or Small Business Environmental Assistance Programs, and they're located throughout the country in each state. The SBEEBs provide direct technical compliance assistance to small businesses within their state.
I see. And what about you, Jamie?
The municipal ombudsman role was created by the Water Infrastructure Improvement Act, which was signed into law in January 2019. And I just so happened to be the very first person in this role. So I already mentioned the many, many informational resources I can provide. And of course, I help with things like Clean Water Act permitting and enforcement. But the Municipal Ombudsman is also intended to help with national consistency across all of EPA's 10 regions. And in that way, I can help identify concerns that maybe keep coming up for communities, work on change from within EPA, and also use what I learned to help improve products and regulations that the agency is actively working on.
Thank you, Jamie. And with that, let's take a short break.
Thank you for listening to the show. Before we return to today's local environment, the Compliance Podcast, a reminder that you can find a variety of user-friendly tips, funding resources, and other tools for ensuring your community complies with federal environmental regulations by visiting lgene.net. And now, back to the show.
So, now we have these three great resources housed at EPA, standing ready to assist with your environmental compliance-related issues.
Just like a fairy godmother, but greener. And instead of sending people to the ball, how exactly can a local government partner with you or utilize your services? Do you have any examples?
Sure. I mean, really, we'd love for you to just connect with us. We have an ASBO hotline, which is 1-800-368-5888, or you can also reach us by email at asbo@epa.gov for all your asbestos or environmental compliance assistance questions for small businesses. And you can also find more technical information in your state about compliance assistance services through the nationalsbeap.org website. That's nationalsbeap.org.
And if a community contacts me, I can examine the issue and help with things like providing information on best practices from EPA Clean Water Act programs, or maybe connect them to the best EPA contacts, or it might be offering an impartial perspective on a topic and helping brainstorm options. My website also links to important municipal resources showing examples of communities who are using innovative techniques like integrated planning and the newly expanded Clearinghouse for Environmental Finance, which is based on our Water Finance Clearinghouse that has been around for a few years now, but now with new resources for additional media. So it now includes air and land, and it was created through work with EPA's Local Government Advisory Committee. So I've also started adding upcoming EPA webcasts that might be of interest and highlighting agency funding opportunities that might be of particular interest to municipalities.
And what about assistance to federally recognized tribes and Alaska Native villages specifically? Because these are terrific resources. Can you tell us how Ombuds can be a helpful resource in Indian country?
That's a good point. While tribes, of course, are sovereign entities, the definition of municipalities in the Clean Water Act includes tribes. So I'm certainly happy to take inquiries on their Clean Water Act concerns and provide all the services I just mentioned to them as well.
Right. And for myself here at ASBO, we are eager to support tribes as well with all their asbestos questions or concerns, of course. And it's also my job as the Asbestos Ombudsman to elevate those types of issues in our periodic reports to the EPA Administrator. Additionally, we know there are many tribally owned businesses that may need to adhere to EPA regulations. And so, of course, we're here to welcome you with open arms to come to us for support and advocate for your specific needs.
That's really cool. I can imagine you receive a lot of calls for help. But the kind of assistance your callers need may change over time, right? There's always new regulations, new problems to worry about, or on the positive side, new tools and resources. Are there any hot new trends or changes coming up you think our listeners should know about?
Well, most definitely. I mean, EPA is undergoing a risk evaluation and management process for many chemicals. One of them is asbestos. And although the Asbestos Ombudsman is not the EPA asbestos technical expert, those are located within EPA's Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics. My office is working in tandem with them to help answer your asbestos questions and bridge you to the right information or contact for more support.
And I'll bet that many small businesses are facing incredible challenges due to COVID restrictions right now.
Yeah, they sure are. And unfortunately, ASBO is striving to connect the small business community with all the necessary federal resources and updates to help them weather the storm. We work with the EPA's Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance, which is there to provide updates on potential enforcement and compliance adjustments due to COVID restrictions. And we also work with the Small Business Administration. They have an office of the National Ombudsman, as well as an office of advocacy. And the work they do at SBA is really there to ensure that small businesses are getting the funding and loan or necessary accommodation support they seek during this difficult time.
Yeah, that's really important. Thank you, Paula. And you, Jamie?
Yeah, we know communities have a wide variety of really competing concerns and increasingly complex water quality issues, like whether it be combined sewer overflows or advanced treatment needs. And now there are also impacts from COVID-19 to consider.
It sounds like you have a pretty full plate.
Yeah. So at EPA, we're working hard on innovative ways to help communities. We're continually improving tools like the Clearinghouse for Environmental Finance I mentioned earlier, which is an exceptional resource to help find both funding and technical resources. The agency is also hard at work on the National Water Reuse Action Plan and resources to improve permitting, like our integrated planning framework, which helps communities consider their stormwater and wastewater activities holistically. Right now, I'm working with the Office of Water to help spread the word on a technical assistance office hours opportunity that's being offered by the Environmental Finance Centers through August 2021. And this is for communities who are already working on an integrated plan and could use assistance on prioritization or affordability analyses, or for states who are reviewing a community's integrated plan. And communities can reach out to me if they're interested, and I'd be happy to connect them to the right folks.
That's wonderful. And as these trends occur, are the roles you play as ombuds evolving over time as well?
Sure, most definitely. The ASBO role has actually been around for 30 plus years at EPA and has gradually evolved as priorities and budgets have changed. Nonetheless, since I officially took on this role in February 2020, I have worked to reinvigorate the program, establishing clear goals and objectives for the program's future, while also increasing awareness and collaboration both inside and outside EPA. So to assist in outreach, the ASBO program recently finalized new communication materials, including a program overview guide, a trifold, as well as a flyer, all of which you can find on our website. The website's a little bit long, so it might be easier to just recommend doing a web search for EPA's Asbestos and Small Business Ombudsman, and it'll pop up as one of your first on the search.
Yeah, and because the Municipal Ombudsman role is brand new for the agency, I've been keeping track of the types of inquiries I'm receiving and doing a lot of outreach to communities and trade groups and others to make sure this role is working as envisioned, hoping to look back after some time and help the role evolve according to the needs that are coming up the most. Certainly, I'm happy to hear from anyone listening to this too on what needs I might help with as I continue to refine this brand new role.
This is all just really terrific. Unfortunately, like all good stories, mysteries and fairy tales included, we're coming to an end. Could you please share with our listeners how they can reach you?
Of course. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, please know there is a warm and inviting place at EPA for assistance with your asbestos questions or environmental compliance concerns as a small business. You can contact our toll-free hotline during business hours at 1-800-368-5888, or you can email us at asbo@epa.gov. And lastly, I encourage all your listeners to visit the national sbeap.org website for state-specific compliance assistance resources. We are even working on a multilingual assistance page for non-English speakers, so that's really exciting, and we look forward to sharing that with everyone.
And any community can call or email me directly at the contact information on EPA's Municipal Ombudsman website. And I know, Cynthia and Shella, you'll link it to this podcast. I don't want our listeners to have to try and remember how to spell my last name. I won't do that to you.
Absolutely. We'll link to all EPA's ombudsman resources on the LGN website.
Plus, like you said, if in doubt, reach out. If you're not certain your issue is something your friendly EPA ombuds can help with, make that call or send that email anyway.
Exactly. Thank you, Paula and Jamie, for sharing with us and our listeners all about EPA's ombudsman.
Anytime. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to connect with local governments and tribes.
Yeah, thank you. It was our pleasure.
We'll be posting this podcast, along with all the magical resources mentioned by our guests, on the LGN website at lgean.net. So that's no mystery for our listeners.
Until next time, this is Cynthia Harris and Shella Chahuri with the Environmental Law Institute.
Thank you for listening to today's Local Environment, the Compliance Podcast, a podcast brought to you by LGN, the Local Government Environmental Assistance Network. Visit us at lgen.net and on social media for user-friendly tips, funding resources, and other tools ensuring your community complies with federal environmental regulations. And please, take our latest survey while you're there. Together, we can advance healthy and sustainable communities for all.